thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I know it's something to come out in the evening away from your families and so close to dinner and all that. So we're going to be very mindful of your time, but we really do appreciate your coming out. If you don't know me, I'm Kathy Mason, and my main job is taking care of you. But if you need anything, if you have any questions, if you need help with the website, anything with your group, I may not be able to help you, but I can get you to help if it's technical. So, but anything else that you're needing in any way with Titus II Ministries, I really do want to serve you well. So please give me that opportunity to do that. We are very, very, very appreciative of the work that you're pouring into this ministry, and we want to love you back for that. So let me start by praying for us, and then we're going to go out over the handout that's in front of you. Sarah Dees is here. She actually put this together for us. She condensed the big one that we have had for years and made it much more accessible. So she's going to go over part of that too, and then Crystal's going to go over the book with us so that you can kind of get the crystal guidance into handling our book for us. So let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for bringing us here tonight and gifting us with this ministry. And we just thank you, Father, that we are able to serve you in this way. And we pray that you would use us as your vessels, Father. Help us to lean on you and to trust you. Help us to be in prayer continually over our ministries to these women. And I pray that you would be willing to bless it with much fruit. Father, we're so excited to study James and all the lessons that you have for us in this wonderful book. And I just pray that you would bless every lady who goes through this study, that her eyes would be open to the truths that are found there, and that all of us would be drawn closer to you and ultimately worship you better in more truth because we understand you better. So, Father, let us come to your word humbly and hungry, and then I pray that you would, in advance, feed us. And we thank you for our speakers who will teach us, and we thank you for these discussion leaders, and we pray that you would use every person who plays a role in this ministry to please you and to bring glory to yourself. And it's in your son's name we ask. Amen. Okay, so if you don't have it, here's your book, $5 in the bookstore, Steadfast. I had mine finally bound with a spiral. Jennifer Jimenez did this. Do not take it to Staples. I did after I called them, and they will not cut the edge off your book. And so I said that would have been helpful to know after I called and then went up there with it. So they won't cut the binder off of your book. They say it ruins their equipment. So Jennifer Jimenez can do all of it. So she's somebody in our church. It's $8 a binding to do, and she can get that taken care of for you if you want to use her for that purpose. But it's just so handy to have it on a spiral and be able to use all your margins when you have to write in the book. So there's a good idea for you. Okay, so let's look real quickly at your handout. And one thing I do want to say, just so I don't forget to say it, and this we will be having our small group discussion leaders meeting after each lesson day. That's going to take place every one of those Wednesdays that we meet. And we meet in the fellowship hall, and we go over the lesson from the book in that meeting. And so if you want, one, that fellowship, and two, that time together to kind of get ready for your group meeting, you don't have to come with all of it done, but it's helpful for you to be a part of the discussion. We don't want you to come just to fill in all of your answers. That's not the point of it. The point is to come and discuss it so that we can help each other get ready for the discussion that we're going to have in group. But I also know that there could be a time or two that you're not completely ready yet, and I don't want to discourage you from coming to the group meeting if you're not completely ready. So we love you. We'd love to have your company either way. But we do have that meeting just for discussion leaders in the fellowship hall immediately following the lesson every time. Okay? Anybody have questions about that? Okay. It's not required. Let me say that too. It's not required, but we'd love it if you could be there. So, okay. So let's look at the handout. Just make sure as you get new ladies added to your group, if you've got newcomers to your group this year, make sure they understand the format of Titus 2, because some of them may be new to the whole ministry. And so just make sure as you're communicating with those ladies that you are communicating the format of Titus 2 and that they feel that freedom to know that they're not required to be at the lesson day to be a part of your small group, but that you would love for them to have listened to the lesson before they come to the group. That just helps everybody's be on the same page, and the discussion is going to be richer if everybody can participate in the lesson as well. So there's not a requirement for them to be in attendance, but we want them to glean from that time. Also, and this is, let me just remind you too, that some of you, the last time I looked, had people waiting on your lists, and so do be checking the website regularly. I know I'm beating that horse, but then I'm beating it for myself too, because a couple of days go by and I haven't looked. As you develop a wait list, make sure that you have an email in your queue that you can send to these ladies that are on your wait list, and that you're communicating that with them. Because, you know, I had one lady who joined all of them, and it was because the computer let her request, but because she didn't know if she got in, she requested for all of them, which is understandable. And so I called her and I asked her which one really would work for her, and we got her in her group and I took her out of all of y'all's. But that they don't know the other side of the computer, so we need to help them by communicating. That's part of the way that we can love our group. So let them know that they got in, or let them know that they are on your wait list, and then encourage them to go ahead and join another group if they can, if there's something else that fits with their schedule, to go ahead and do that. Okay, so we do want you to do your study as thoroughly as you're able to do, and certainly to have listened to the message, even if you're not here on that Wednesday, the lesson day. That's fine, but we do want that to be something that you hold yourself to, that you've listened to the lesson as well, and that you're doing all the homework to the best of your ability. This book is interesting, and Crystal will talk about it, but you know, it has discussion questions for each group, so that's going to be kind of a fun addition to our groups this year. So I look forward to what Crystal's going to say about that too. Understanding your role as a discussion leader, you are not teachers, you're discussion leaders. And it's important to really own that difference. We as discussion leaders are to facilitate a discussion. And that means that a lot of what we're doing is listening. And we want this is the opportunity for these women to be involved in your group and to hear each other, what they've learned, what they're gleaning. And that's how we all get blessed by everybody's knowledge through the word. So make sure that you're not using the time to teach another lesson. It's kind of the simplest way to say that. Anybody have questions about that? I know that you're going to have times where you say some things, you flesh out some truths, and we get that. We want that. But it's not a lesson time in small group. It is a discussion to be had and shared. And ask your partner, if you have a partner, or your hostess, if you have a host home, to kind of be that balance for you, let you know, am I talking too much? Am I taking up too much of the time? Sometimes we don't know that for ourselves. So be willing to have someone help you with that too. Praying for your group members, Vanessa, praying for your group members, very important to have that prayer list. Having someone take prayer requests in your group is not something they have to be approved for. So if you want an organizer, an administrator that's who writes it all down and sends it all out through an email or however your group chooses to disseminate information, that's fine. It's discussion leaders and really the host home too. They all have to have gone through an approval process. But having someone do some admin for you is fine. So use your ladies to help your group too. They can bring food. They can do all those kinds of things. Plan events for y'all, organize get-togethers, things like that. But pray for them, and as you do your prayer requests, as I say every year, make sure that your prayer requests stay within your group. When you have somebody share their prayers, their requests, you don't know fully, usually, the level of privacy that they want for that. And so make sure that you tell your group that this is something that you teach within your group, that prayer requests stay in the group. And I always say this too, but this happens. If you want to follow up with someone about a prayer request that has been shared in group, make sure you do that in private, because it may even be something that they haven't completely shared with their family members or whoever that you might think, oh, that's safe. Just don't put them in that position. It's just better if we don't. So if you want to ask about a prayer request, just do it when it's private, just you and that person, if it's outside of group. And that just saves situations that we've had. And we just don't want to do that to the ladies either. So assume that it's completely confidential within the group. And so therefore other conversations about it to follow up need to be confidential too. Any questions about that? Okay. Committing to saying only things that are in keeping with the church's doctrine and distinctives. Make sure that you're aware of what those are. So please go to the website and look over the church's doctrines and distinctives so that we can all be supportive of our elders and the way the Lord is leading our church through them. That, honestly, ladies, is one of the biggest things we can do for our church and our elders is to, one, know what we believe and to address it accurately and with patience and kindness and gentleness always. But it's in these groups that those kinds of things can start to pop up, especially when we have new ones coming and our church is just blooming. And we're grateful for that. But there's going to be some differences here and there. So please avail yourself of knowing what our church holds to so that you can uphold that doctrine within your groups. It doesn't mean that every little thing needs to necessarily be addressed in group, but maybe there could be a coffee or a sidebar conversation at some point with someone to kind of see really where they are and make sure that they understand where the church is. But that's part of your discernment within your groups, is knowing what needs to be kind of gently steered immediately in the group and what just needs to be kind of a sidebar. And that's something too, and I love it. Please don't feel like you can't call and discuss something. And again, if I can't fix it for you, I can get you to the right person to get things fixed if things pop up in your small groups. So don't feel like you just got out of your pay grade and you don't know what to do about it. Just reach out and we'll get you to the right help, okay? Okay, so I don't know that there's anything else I need to do, Sarah. Is there anything else that y'all have questions about? Just the formatting, your role, anything within your group that you're already seeing that you wish we could help you with, give direction to? Everybody's sign-up process going okay? Okay. You can't at this point err on the side of over-communicating with your ladies before we get up and started. Like, send them the address of the house that you're going to meet at. They will appreciate that. They may not know how to do community, and that person's address might not be publicized in community. So all the little things that you can do to remind them of day, time, remind them the day before the first one we're going to meet. That's a good practice every time, every month, is to have a reminder email that we're meeting tomorrow or 2 days from now, and remind whoever has responsibilities for that day, whatever. But just communicate with your ladies, and it really does make them feel more confident about going into that morning if they've had that little touch. Certainly don't let somebody sit on a decline. And I honestly don't know the answer to this. So maybe Jill, you might even know. If they are declined, do they get anything that says, either way, they're not getting anything that tells them I'm in or I'm out. So you have to communicate, I'm sorry, our group is full. Please look at another group, because there's nothing going to them from the computer. Again, it's why the other little lady signed up for everything, because there was no response from the computer system. Yeah, exactly. I know. The email should start, "We love you." But, yeah, so. Exactly. And that's understandable. And there's nothing wrong with saying we're full. And that's one thing, too, that you can even use the verbiage in your email. There are only so many seats in this house. You know, you got to have a chair for everybody. And so the host home is the one who gets to set how many people are invited to the group based on what she can really accommodate. So there's no feeling bad about that. And it's going to happen. And right now there are plenty of spots still available in other groups if it can fit with their time. So, we'll just give the process a chance to work for everybody.
On the second page of this handout is mostly things that you already know, so we are not really going to talk about most of that, what to do at your first group meeting. The only thing I was going to say, that this was something that was shared several years ago when I first started leading, and I thought it was really helpful. It can be, at your first meeting, you may feel like, boy, I'm coming in with all these rules, and I just hate to tell people all these things. It is so much better to set your expectations up front than to deal with problems later. So as you're talking to your group about prayer requests and things like Kathy shared, we want them to keep information confidential within the group and all of that. If there is anything that you think that you need to say, don't hesitate to say it up front, because it is so much better afterwards. If something goes wrong and then you have to say something, everybody knows who it's directed towards, and it just is awkward and zero fun for anyone. So, you know, something to think about. Along the lines of prayer requests, I was just going to add to that, as people share prayer requests, we do want to also navigate not just the confidentiality, but as they're sharing, that we don't allow it to just be a gossip situation or saying negative things about a family member or something like that. So that may be something you want to address up front. You may want to encourage them. Ask for prayer for yourself in handling a certain situation, and they really only need to share the amount of details that someone would need to know in order to pray. So they don't need to know about the crazy things your husband did or whatever. You can just say, I just need wisdom in handling some things. You know, and just, it's just really helpful if you can set that tone right from the beginning on the prayer request. That'll be really helpful. Okay, so that's all on that one. On page 3, we're going to talk a little bit about handling potential challenges as a discussion leader. You know, Kathy said, we're not teachers. This is not a teaching ministry. The downside of that for us is that when you prepare a lesson, you just get to stand there and read off of your notes. And sometimes when we are leading a discussion, we have no idea what is about to come out of the mouths of the people in our group. And I think that's maybe even more so the case as we grow as a church. The exciting part about that is we have so many new ladies. We met many of them at the ministry fair. We have people that are so excited about this study. I've had individuals in my group over the past couple years that say, we've never participated in any kind of Bible study and discussion like this. This is good stuff. You know, so I'm excited that we can provide that opportunity. I've been studying 1 Timothy lately, and 1 Timothy 1:5 reminds us the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. And that's what we want to do. We want to love these ladies and give them a environment that they can learn God's word, learn from other people, and we can encourage each other. So what happens when you're sitting there and someone says something theologically incorrect? So here's just a couple ways to think through that. The first thing in your 2 seconds before you have to come up with something to say, and this is why I always pray for wisdom before it starts, because the Lord knows what's going to come up. He knows what we're going to encounter, and he will provide the wisdom in the moment on what to say. But anyway, in that 2 seconds, think to yourself, is this really contrary to Scripture, or are they maybe not explaining themselves very well? And then ask a follow-up question or two, you know, is this what you're meaning, or can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because it may just be that they haven't worded it the best way, and it really is something that makes sense and that you could affirm. And then if it truly is something that it, there will occasionally be times that there's error presented that you can't just let it sit there. So, you know, some good lines to have in your back pocket is, you know, our elder's position would be, or, you know, I know that Tom has taught on this. We can talk later about which sermon that was if you want to go back to it. You know, or if you think of a verse immediately that counters that issue, whatever they're talking about, you can go to that scripture. Sometimes you'll have someone who talks too much or dominates the discussion. That's where you can get your co-leader or your host to help you. I know we've done that before. Just, you know, sometimes you can really tag team and help just keep the discussion on the right track. Now, the last thing that I kind of wanted to cover is, what do we do if one of your group members brings up kind of a serious issue? And again, as our church grows, you may have people that share about serious marriage struggles that you're not sure what to do with. You know, there's all manner of things that could come up. Health diagnoses, mental health things, problems that are just more than you can solve. You can relax and keep in mind that we are not, our role's not to be biblical counselors. You don't need to, it can be tempting to want to fix the problem. You don't have to worry about that. Crystal had a fantastic tip when I was talking to her about this, is ask them who they've talked to already in the church. That is a great place to start, because maybe they have already spoken to one of the teachers in their Sunday school class. Maybe they've already had an appointment with Daniel, and they just need somebody to pray. And so you want to discern, do they just need us to pray for them, or are they really, this is a whole mess, and they don't have direction? If that's the case, then you can contact, you can encourage them to contact the church office. They can email counseling@countrysidebible.org, and Laura will get them set up. There is help for those things, and so it's just, it's important for us as discussion leaders to know when this is a really big issue, and I can pray with them right now, and I can love them tonight, but I don't need to try to wade into this issue. I can let one of the pastors handle that. Okay. I think that was everything. I think we'll hold off on questions for now on that kind of stuff and let Crystal share hers, and then I think we can come back to questions at the end. So you can be thinking if there's any things that you've encountered in the past year or two, or just things you want to talk about.
If you have an issue, and you already know you have an issue in your group about prayer requests, set that parameter in advance too. Let's keep our prayer requests to immediate family members or whatever you want the parameters to be. But if you know you have time issues in your group and you have certain ones that have prayer requests that are far, far removed, I'm sure you know one of the things you can say is, how can we pray for you in that? Which kind of sends the message of, okay, we'd like to keep it a little closer. Unless there's a role that they're playing in that situation. But just remember that too, that that's a parameter that you may need to set from the beginning of honing in a little bit the expanse of who in the group it's appropriate to ask for prayer for.
I'm so excited we're starting another year of Titus 2. I just love this ministry. And we all know by now that we are going to use this book, Steadfast, by Courtney Doctor, for both our big group lesson time and our small group discussion time. And so in just a second, we're going to walk through this book together. If you've been in this ministry even just a couple of years, you're going to recognize the format right away. This book is the same style of book that In All Things, when we went through the book of Philippians together, it's the same style of book as that. And this book is going to help us study the book of James together. And so we're praying that this book brings encouragement and exhortation and conviction as we work our way through it this year. We're also praying that our study of this book will fuel rich conversations and strengthen our iron sharpens iron relationships we have with one another in small group as well. So before we drill into the details, I'm going to take just a minute and remind us of the big picture of what we're doing here. Ultimately, the purpose of Titus 2 ministry is to grow in our knowledge of God, our relationship to Him, and our relationships with one another. As this year progresses, we're going to seek to grow in our ability to be steadfast as we walk through this life and all that it brings. And if we end up doing those things this year, it's a win. Now, as we were selecting the book for this year, one of the goals that we had was that we would get back to a book of Scripture, that we would grow in our knowledge of the Word and in our understanding of how to apply the Word to our daily lives. And as Sarah mentioned, we have an increasingly wide range of maturity in women here, right, at Countryside. We have godly women that have been learning and modeling and teaching the Word of God their whole life. And we have baby believers that don't know how to find Romans in their Bible. And our Titus 2 groups are made up of women that have read the Bible cover to cover. Women that have, she's here, I think, have half the New Testament memorized. women that are such amazing role models for all of us. And so it really is an awesome opportunity to put Titus chapter 2 into practice as we turn around to the ones that are coming up behind us. All right, well, with that being said, I want you to pull out your copy of the book and let's walk through this together. Like I said, this book is by Courtney Doctor. She has co-authored books with Melissa Kruger, and you might recognize her name. Melissa Kruger is the author of Envy of Eve and In All Things, and they actually speak together too at conferences. All right, so let's look first at the table of contents. The first thing you're going to notice is there's 8 chapters in this book. Anybody know how many times we meet as a ministry? 8. This is so amazing. Wait, what? Yeah, it's so amazing. We don't have to double up. There's not 2 chapters at Christmas. Woo-hoo-hoo! And we also don't have extra at the end that we have to tack on some psalms or something else. Like, it just perfectly lines up. And so this year, as we cover the 5 chapters of the book of James, we're going to focus on our steadfast foundation. We're going to study being steadfast in obedience, in our works, in our speech, in our wisdom, in our hope, in our prayer. And then we're going to finish by putting it all together in a steadfast review. Are you just so excited for that? As we read through the list, my own heart, I'm so excited to grow in my ability to be steadfast in those specific ways. All right, well, during each big group lesson time, the teacher will teach from the covered text that month. Now, some teachers are likely going to have a key verse or two. They might not exposit half a chapter. While others, depending on the half a chapter we're covering, might choose to do that. But one of the really great things about this book is that as small group leaders, you don't have to prepare additional things. You're not going to teach anything. You don't have to put any extra study into it. Attending the lesson time or watching it, if you're not able to attend, and then doing the questions in the chapter will fully prepare you to lead your small group time. You don't need to come up with any additional resources on your own. Each month, the lesson time, the homework, and the small group discussion time will all center around the chapter. And so it will be helpful for you as you lead, and it should enable you to come prepared for discussion. We don't have a workbook this year. Can I get a hallelujah? There's nothing extra. It's all the questions are included for us here. The pattern of the homework is the same in each chapter. And you're going to notice that the questions are broken down into 3 steps: observation, interpretation, and application. And this is on purpose. We want to teach our women how to dive into the Word of God, right? We want to teach them how to observe. What does the text say? We want to teach them how to interpret. What does the text mean? And then we want to teach them how to apply. How does the text transform me? What should I do in light of this text? Now, each chapter is broken down into 5 days, with that fifth day being reflection. And so there's 4 days of homework. So think of the 4 days of homework as a week in the month, since we do one chapter a month, right? So you would do day one homework 1 week, day two. So it's a very reasonable amount of homework per week. And this book also comes with a memory verse for each chapter, which I'm super excited about. We used to do that. I was in Teresa Anderson's Titus II group for a long time. She taught me everything I know. And we used to do memory verses, and it was so amazing. And I was excited to see that back, so we can work on that together in just a couple minutes. Not tonight, but in our small group, you can take a couple minutes to work on your memory verse as well. Okay, so as Kathy mentioned, at the end of each chapter, there are 10 questions, 10 small group discussion questions. So turn to the last page of any chapter, and you'll see that there are 10 small group discussions provided for you there. You are welcome. I feel like 10 is the best number. I mean, well, 7 is the best number. But for a small group discussion, I feel like 10 is the best number. For me, it just usually seems to land right about the perfect amount of time. So you could come with those questions and be prepared to talk through your small group. Now, I also almost always have a favorite 1 or 2 questions from the chapter. Feel free to pull any of those too. Or if you look at the questions in the discussion questions provided and you think one's kind of a dud, skip it. Be free. Add one of the ones you loved from the chapter. I also wanted to mention on the bottom of page 5. So page 5 kind of explains how this book works. They talk about the memory verse. They talk about small group discussion. On the bottom, there is a videos, and it says, here's the link. We're obviously not using videos. We have our own teaching times, and we're just not going to have anything to do with that. But I do want to maybe put your fears aside. The leadership team has pre-watched every video, and there's nothing, but it's okay. So just in case you do have a woman who just gets excited about wants a secondary, third option, I don't know, and she does watch the videos, it's okay. Yeah, but if anyone asks you about it, you can just say, that's not a part of our study. We're not doing this, okay? Okay, I want to assure you, I think you guys know this, but I also think it's worth saying, many, 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 many hours and days, so much work goes into researching, praying about, and choosing the book that we will study for the coming year. I just want to affirm you that there's nothing about this that's taken lightly or flippantly. Pretty much as soon as we have the book chosen, we start the process of choosing next year's book. Last year, I think we went through 75. Like, there's really a lot that goes into considering, does it work for our format? Does it line up doctrinally? Is the author in place? Will it feed our women? Does it meet our goals? There's really a lot that goes into this. And so I wanted to express that to you because it's really so important. But only the Bible is inerrant, right? Only the Bible is inerrant. So this book has 8 chapters. The ladies on the leadership team all took a chapter. We've worked through this book. We've answered every question in this book. And for the most, like, there's nothing big. You're not going to have any crazy, does she have a demon? What? Okay. What do you do if your husband has another? What? Girl, what? Okay. We don't have any of that this year. Woohoo. Okay. But we have worked through all of it. But only the Bible's inerrant. Okay. So maybe someone's going to have a question. Maybe something's going to come up. And I do want to mention one thing on that note. I want you to turn with me to page 11. Look about halfway down the page. All right, so there is a paragraph that I will read to you now. Historically, the 12 tribes refer to the 12 sons of Jacob, who formed the nation of Israel and were children of the promise given to Abraham, Genesis 15. The dispersion refers to Jews who remained scattered outside of the land of Israel after the exile. James now uses these terms to highlight that the church is the true Israel, scattered throughout the world. So from the author's line, James now uses these terms to highlight that the church is the true Israel, scattered throughout the world. It does appear that the author is promoting what is called replacement theology, in that the church has replaced Israel. To use Sarah's line, which I already had written down, our elders' position. Our elders' position is that James is not using these terms to highlight that the church has the true Israel scattered throughout the world, but rather James is writing to believers in Jesus Christ that have been scattered abroad, but specifically to those that are Israelites. There's a statement I have here from XL Ministries that I think is clarifying. While both Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church are the people of God, redeemed by faith through the atoning work of Christ, they are different and distinct. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Israel clearly refers to a national ethnic group who had Abraham as their ancestor. Upon establishment of the church, the New Testament at no point refers to it as the New Israel or a replacement for the nation of Israel. Throughout the Bible, the church and Israel are referred to distinctly and separately. Romans 9-11 makes it clear that God still views the church and Israel distinctly and has redemptive plans for both. So I do actually intend to address that a little bit in our first lesson day as I work my way through the first half of chapter 1 in James. And so you're not totally on your own here. I'm going to address it in lesson time. And I can't imagine it's going to create too big of a controversy for you, but I did want to point it out ahead of time just so that you feel prepared and you're not caught off guard. Maybe you didn't notice that when you read through it. So on that note, really just one last thing. On that note, if you have a question or a scenario come up in small group that is potentially sensitive, I just want us to remind ourselves to ask what Pastor Tom always says. What does the Bible say? We want to make sure that we're answering questions and we're leading these discussions with biblical truth and not our own opinion. And we might have strong opinions. I pretty much have a strong opinion about every single thing I've ever been asked. But who cares? Right? It's not my opinion that matters. We want to stick to what does the Bible say. And so as small group leaders, these precious women are looking to you, and we don't have the freedom to respond with, oh, did he really say that? Like, we can't go there. We have to stay in line and say things like, how can you respond in a way that honors the Lord? So, last thing. The more we grow as a church, the more we are welcoming new women from different ministries and different backgrounds. That includes different churches that have different standards for who teaches and who leads. And so sometimes when ladies first get here and they want to get plugged in, they seek out someone, sometimes their Titus 2 leader, and to let them know all the ministries they've run and things they've been in charge of and places they've taught before, because they would like to be in charge of those things here. And so if that happens to you and you have a new lady that's excited to lead and teach and be in charge, and she comes to you for advice on how to do so, please tell her to jump in and serve. The Lord does gift every single believer, and he wants all of us to use our gifts to build up the church and bless his body. And that happens by getting busy and doing the work. Get busy, get serving. Tell them to serve in any ministry that interests them. There's needs everywhere. And as they serve, the leadership will get to know them, their gifts will become evident, and the Lord will open the doors he has for them to use their gifts. And we don't want people to get frustrated and feel like they're not being given a chance, but it also isn't feasible to think that you can just step into a new church and start being in charge. That's not how it works. We need to demonstrate genuine, humble desire to serve God and let him work out the details. We don't have a booklet this year because we don't need one. Everything's in our book. But we do have this amazing calendar that Laura pointed out earlier. They have all the Titus 2 dates on one side. They have the women's ministry events on the other side. Also, side note, Christmas banquet really is on a Monday. That's not a misprint. I was asked that a couple times at the ministry fair. And so, yes, they're also perfect bookmarks, so I'm sure we can make sure we have enough of those for everybody. As small group leaders, we just want to remember that our big picture goal is to grow in our relationship with the Lord, His Word, and each other this year. If we have ladies that attend our groups with their homework half done, and they come half the time, that means they've grown in their understanding of half the book of James. And we get to pray with them and for them, and we get to spend time in fellowship with them, and it's a win. And also on behalf of the leadership team, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your willingness to humbly serve in this way. This ministry quite literally could not take place without you. Your willingness to have these amazing conversations and love them, like Sarah said, love these precious women where they're at, is such a wonderful body, a blessing to our church body and service to the King. So let's pray for our upcoming year together, and then we'll get busy with any questions you have. Father God, it is in humble adoration that we come before you. Oh Lord, we are just so in awe of you, and we are so grateful that you would choose to let us serve you in this way. Lord, we confess we feel inadequate. We confess that we don't feel as though we have the answer for every situation. We're not able to meet the needs of every one of these women, but Lord, that's because it's not about us and our strength. It is about you and yours. And so, Lord, I pray that you would keep us faithful, that you would keep our eyes on you, that you would keep our hearts and minds meditated on your word, that you would equip us for the conversations that are coming, that you would equip us to love the women you're bringing, even the ones that are harder to love. Help us remember, Lord, that we are also unlovable. But God, you've chose to set your perfect love on us. And Lord God, I pray that you would use us in any way you choose to glorify your name and grow your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So for the recording, Anne is saying that on the computer, on community, you have to have checked permissions to let other people see your address, your phone number, that kind of thing. So if that's not listed in somebody's, for like Jessica, you have, it may be that they don't know that they have to check okay to that. So in your first time of getting together, another conversation you need to have is how do you want to communicate within our group? Is it going to be emails? Is it going to be a text thread? So figure that out with your group, how best they like to be communicated with. Then we're going to say thank you again and good night. And just call me. You know, I put my phone number all the time on everything, and that's just so I want you to know you can call me. Please just know, whatever it is, call me. I will get you to the right information or whatever we can do for you, but don't ever hesitate. Okay. Thank y'all.